Yeah, let it play, man. Let it play. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative and just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. That's what I'm saying. And yes, we had to let that bump play a second. I mean,
you just had to.
I mean, come on.
Just had to.
I mean, Slash gets out there and does that kind of a guitar lick. You got to let it play a minute, right?
Yes.
Just saying.
That just makes me feel good.
Okay. It's all good now in the studio. That's right. Hey, I don't know if you saw this or not, by the way. This is craziness. Boomer, did you see the headlines? It was up on the screen a while ago with the fact that migrant buses are being unloaded in front of Vice President Kamala Harris's quarters.
And I saw somewhere else that there were a couple planes sent to
Martha's Vineyard.
Martha's Vineyard.
So DeSantis got in the mix now.
Yeah.
So DeSantis is like, hey, I can't let Greg Abbott and Doug Ducey have all the fun.
Yeah.
And so he's like, okay. In fact, I saw it earlier. So Governor DeSantis held a press conference about something totally unrelated. But of course, the press begins asking him, Governor, is it true that you sent plane loads of illegal immigrants from Florida to Martha's Vineyard? And and he said, yeah, I did. He said, you know what? And I'm paraphrasing slightly, just slightly. Right. He says, yeah, I did. You know what? He said, we're not a sanctuary state. We don't have freebies and benefits to give out to them. If they're going to arrive here illegally, we'll help them go somewhere else, maybe someplace that says they do want them. And he said, but you know what really needs to happen? Biden needs to do his blankety-blank job and just secure the border. That's exactly what he wasn't playing. But, yeah, so DeSantis loaded up plane loads and sent them to Martha's Vineyard, which has drawn the immediate attention of the social elite that live on Martha's Vineyard. And, you know, like, what? The unwashed masses are coming to our door? Then, yes. And then the other one, though, that was just kind of epic today, from the Del Rio sector of the Texas border, Governor Abbott loaded up 101 people on buses and had them unloaded right outside the Naval Observatory, which is the vice president's home in Washington, D.C.
I just love that.
Just had them taken there and offloaded.
There you go, guys.
And here's the other piece, though. Just the other day, and maybe this is why he had them sent there. Probably was. Just the other day, I think it was Sunday, Vice President Harris did an interview, a totally unchallenged interview with someone from CNN, I believe it was. And, you know, they didn't bother following up when she said, the border is secure. They didn't look at her and go, no, it's not. Why would you say that? They didn't even question. They just moved on to the next thing. So the border is secure, and two busloads got unloaded right in front of her house. And I saw one of the interviews was on Fox right before I came on the air today. Griff Jenkins, I believe, and who speaks some Spanish. So he was talking to a few of them in Spanish, but then he got found in one that speaks English, and they were literally telling him, no, the border's wide open. We just walked across.
Wow.
So,
wow.
I mean, because he asked him, was it hard? Is the border closed? No, the border's wide open. We just walked in. It was free. We got here.
And we got a bus ride
right
to the house.
Got an air-conditioned bus and a nifty little tote bag to carry our belongings in. And,
man.
And is that the vice president's home? We need to see her and thank her. You know, I'm making that part up. But anyway. All right, folks, we got plenty to cover on the show today. And I got to tell you, there's already some folks that are hitting the text line. If you want to text the show throughout, you can do that. So all you got to do, here's the thing. We got a phone number. You can call into the show, 833-687-4448. 833-687-4448, which is also 833-68-RIGHT. But if you want to text that number, and by the way, the first time you do it, just text the word right side to that number, and you'll get a little reply back saying, hey, thanks so much. It'll ask you just for your name and where you're from, like a John from Huntsville or something. And after that, you're in our system and start texting your input on the show. We read them out of the show sometimes. So, yeah, 833-68-RIGHT. That's also a text line as well as a call-in number. Very cool. All right. We're also going to be covering down on a number of things, not the least of which is this rail strike, which they're saying it's averted. It's the Biden administration saying it's averted. I haven't heard the official word from the actual union reps, but they are saying right now that the strike is averted. You got to ask yourself, how did we get here? Where did this come from? And how did it get down to the point that we were literally like 48 hours away from a major strike that could have shut down a huge swath of the U.S. economy. There are some experts who are saying that the amount of shipping and receiving that takes place on the rails in the United States would have meant that we would have lost upwards of $2 billion in economics or in our economy daily. $2 billion a day. Well, they say they struck a deal, which I will just guarantee you means we're going to spend more money. And you may say, oh, no, it's the freight haulers. They got to pay their people more. It's the unions working with it's not the government. That's fine, but guess who winds up getting it passed on? I mean, they don't absorb the cost. The cost of shipping goods goes up. The consumer pays for it eventually. So your bacon's still going to cost more, especially when you consider that it appears that what they got was a guaranteed 14% pay raise across the board. So I don't know anything about their work conditions. They're basically saying that their work conditions were deplorable and they were miserable and they were, you know, getting called in with no notice and all that kind of. Sometimes that's called a job, but nonetheless, maybe the conditions were really bad. I don't know. What I do know is this: we are now looking at 14% pay raises across the board that at some point will be absorbed by the consumer who receives the goods on the far end of that rail. A whole lot more on this, things you got to know. And also, by the way, how does the Biden administration play into this? Oh, that's right. Union friendly. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right. I'm talking about we're south of Birmingham, north of Huntsville. We're Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden. We got parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. And as always, we are solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, I got a caller online. By the way, the text line's blowing up. Yeah, a bunch of new texters in the queue there, bud. Line one, Ray from Madison. Hey, Ray, Phil Williams, how you doing today?
Hey, Phil, how's it going? Boy, I sure enjoy your show.
Hey, thanks so much.
I really liked that segment on Norman Rockwell.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to mention to the folks that if they want to see the real thing, you know, the paintings and the prints and all that, there's a museum up in Stockbridge, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And that's been a bucket list of mine for a while, and a couple of years ago, we went up there and went to the museum. It's really a great place. They used to say he was just an illustrator, but no. I think he's quite the artist.
I think he was too, man. I think he was like basically an author with paint. He was amazing.
Oh yeah, but anyway, that's a really nice place to go. It's beautiful up there, and just thought I'd mention that. That's all.
All right, hey Ray, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you calling in. All right, I tell you what, let me just jump right in while Boomer starts checking out our text line, because, yeah, we got four or five right there that just need to have their input finalized so we can be texting back and forth. By the way, if you want to do that, the caller, Ray, just a minute ago called in on 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. That is also our text line. You can text in if it's the very first time you've done it. Then just text your name and where you're from, like first name and city or something like that. And that gives us a chance to input you in the system so it identifies you from then on. But what I'm saying is you can text the show, and then periodically we read them out or we respond to them or whatever. But it's kind of cool. It's really opened up a whole new line of communication with the audience, which has been very neat. All right, number one of the Triple Dipper, off the rails. Going off the rails on a crazy train. So there is an indication right now that the railway strike, the whole rail system strike, has been averted. Well, that would be nice to know, because this thing, in my opinion, has really crept up on us. In fact, one of the articles that I've got here, the second article I'm going to go to in just a minute, is from the National Review. It's, I tell you what, let me grab it first. Now that I'm mentioning, I'll tease you with that and then wait. No, I'll do it right now. National Review, dated yesterday. National Review, the headline, "The Biggest Looming Crisis You've Heard Almost Nothing About." There you go. I mean, how many of you were really paying attention to this thing before the last few days? So it starts off by saying that this is like a ticking time bomb. It says it's spectacularly undercovered, a ticking time bomb, if you will, that could start at 12:01 a.m. on Friday, which I think would be tonight, technically, the midnight tonight time frame, about a day and a half from now. Well, this is written yesterday. If there isn't a new labor deal between freight rail unions and employers, the U.S. economy will be derailed. It goes on to say the effects of this are so prolific that it's hard to even calculate the overall amount of damage that will be done to the U.S. economy. It says a freight rail strike will bring commuter rail services to a halt in some areas. And if you've ever lived in some of the major metropolitan areas where people commute in by rail, can you imagine all those being shut down? Well, at that point, no one's going to work. But then you also have to consider how much is carried over the rail. Like almost all of our crude oil, natural gas liquids, refined products, petrochemicals, plastics. And then we have to deal with the fact that farmers have to get their goods to market before they spoil. That goes by rail very often. And it literally says the cost to the U.S. economy is estimated by the U.S. Department of Transportation. That's not like some fly-by-night group that says, hey, this is going to be big. No, the U.S. Department of Transportation estimated that a freight rail strike nationwide could cost the economy up to $2 billion a day. It's billion with a B, all right? And it says that's a big abstract figure in some people's minds, but what it basically means is you'll pay more for everything. The average cost of gas will go up again. The average cost of food goods will go up again. Even some services would go up again because they relate to things that come off the rails. So I'm just telling you, this thing was huge, and this thing could have gone a long way. And I have to look at it. The first thing I thought was, you know, there's our tone-deaf president again. In the middle of a potential for a strike that could cripple the U.S. economy, like we're not already having enough trouble with recession numbers and, you know, interest rates rising and the supply chain already being disrupted by COVID is slowly working its way back out. And now we're looking at the president yesterday giving a speech where he basically was just going, union, yeah, union, yeah. Well, what kind of leverage do you think they had in these negotiations with a president who, in the middle of the negotiations, at the heat of the moment, goes to Michigan to go, union, yay! And they're all waving their signs saying, you know, union, go. And, well, in the eyes of some analysts, according to National Review, the country is in this spot right now because of the Biden administration's decision-making, which aimed to maximize the leverage of its union allies. The quote is from a guy named Scribner talking on Fox News. This might occur. The fact that this might occur right before the midterm elections is entirely self-inflicted by the Biden administration, where two of the President Biden's National Mediation Board members took the bizarre step in June of terminating their board-guided mediation 2 months early and started us on the countdown to a strike. Well, you look at it and you go, wow. But then where's the negotiating power? Why would the union feel like they're in any way under threat? Well, we are seeing right now, I will tell you this, before I go too much further down the line, there are reports right now that this has been averted. Yay. But the reports are Biden announces, according to NBC News this morning, or midday today, actually, Biden announces tentative deal to avert a rail strike that threatened a massive disruption. The White House, it says, has struck a tentative deal to avoid a rail strike that threatened massive disruption across the United States. Business groups and political officials have been increasingly concerned about the possibility that a strike could cripple the country's supply chain and disrupt passenger services. The tentative deal represents a relief for Biden ahead of the midterm elections, after days of mounting fears that a failure to resolve the union contract dispute could cause economic fallout. And then it goes on to say they don't know the details yet. Well, the details began to surface a little bit. So I'm looking at another story online right now, not in my hands. This one's from CNN Business. It says the deal gives union members an immediate 14% raise with back pay dating back to 2020. Wait, what? How does that even work? You get a 14% pay raise going back 2 years. God almighty. and raises totaling 24% during the five-year life of the contract. It also gives them cash bonuses of $1,000 a year. All told, the back pay and earlier bonuses will give union members an average of $11,000 payments per person once the deal is ratified. Wow. It also said that one of the big sticking points that they got was that they wanted changes to work rules and scheduling issues that had brought the country within a day of its first national strike in over 30 years. So let me make sure I point something out. There has not been recessionary numbers like we're seeing in over 40 years. There have not been gas prices at the pump like this in over 40 years. And there has not been a threat of a rail strike like this in over 30 years. All of this is happening during the Biden administration's tenure. All of it. All of it. Interest rates for home mortgages hit 6% yesterday. 6%. We have not seen rates like that in over a decade. 6%. As an attorney, I was closing loans just in the last 6-8 months that were in the twos. And now we're seeing 6% on average. It all happens during the Biden administration. You got to look at this and go, man, dude, when are you going to own this? But he'll probably have another great speech on the White House lawn and celebrate how much he's doing for the economy. Yeah. The workplace rules, by the way, let me jump back to that story. I chased that rabbit right there. The workplace rules that they were asking for changes were things like they wanted things to address staffing shortages and scheduling rules. They say the unions were too often requiring their members to be on call and ready to report to work on short notice, as often as 7 days a week. Leadership of the two unions has said their members would not accept a contract without changes to those work rules. They also want protections with additional paid day off per year, as well as protections against discipline if they need time off to attend to routine and preventative medical care. What the heck, man? How about take your time off like every other person in the world does and go to the doctor, or use your PTO or whatever they've got? But no, they if we have to, I want an extra day off the year. And by the way, if I want to go do a doctor's appointment, you can't penalize me. Okay. They also want exemptions from attendance policies for hospitalizations and surgical procedures. Maybe so. Railroad actions against workers who were unable to be on call or report to work due to medical issues had stoked anger among union members. All right, so basically what they're saying is, we don't want to be on call. We want more pay. We don't want to work as hard. And this is going to, we want back pay going back 2 years. That's a sweetheart deal. Well, there you go. So here we are. But how does that impact Alabama? Well, right now, like the Port of Mobile. The Port of Mobile, story on 1819 News. Port of Mobile says it was closely monitoring the possible railroad worker strike because their operations so heavily depend upon rail. The Port of Mobile has become a major shipping and receiving port for goods in the southeastern United States, one of the biggest ports in the southern United States. Says we're hopeful these negotiations will soon lead to a resolution with minimal disruption in service. A national rail stoppage would impact the port's operations, said Maggie Oliver, a Port of Mobile spokeswoman. U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville also said in an interview that the unions need to work this out. We can't run this country without trains, so he, Biden, might have to step in and make some kind of executive order. Well, the executive order would have been to give them all free money, I guarantee you. Tuberville said the consequences of a railroad strike, worker strike, would have been unfathomable. If they go on strike, he says, here's what happens. We lose $2 billion worth of supplies a day. Our supply chain's already in trouble. With the train system shutting down, it's going to cost our farmers in Alabama tremendous amounts of money. You can't move gravel. You can't move grain. He says, the stats that I saw, if they were to shut down the trains, we'd have to have 467,000 more trucks on the road every day, which you can't have because we can't even find the drivers now for what we need. I'm just saying, folks. And here we are. We are down to the wire. They appear to have something in place. How much of this was politics? Yeah, I guarantee you the unions knew that too. We're right in front of the midterms. They had that leverage as well. I'll talk about that when we get back. Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We'll go ahead and do that right now. Folks, this is Bidenomics in full swing right here. And yet, what's he doing right now? I'm looking up on the screen. Biden is currently giving a speech at, where is he? It says United We Stand. It's got to be a unions thing. And he addresses the impact of hate-fueled violence on democracy. because he can't address things that are real, I guess. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering all of North Alabama, man, making it cool to be a conservative. Boomer, I was laughing just briefly there because as the song was playing, your back was to me, but we both did our fists at the exact same time.
Yes.
Hey, on the text line, by the way, 833-687-4448. If you want to jump in there and text away. If it's your first time to text, just make sure you tell us who you are and where you're from. But Lulu from Eva, if you're still listening, I'm pretty sure you're the same Lulu that just also sent me on Twitter a picture of the four freedoms that Norman Rockwell painted. Spot on. That was it. I mean, and it's got them on there: the freedom of speech, freedom of worship, the freedom from want, the freedom from fear. Those paintings are so amazing. It would be a dream to have an original Rockwell. That would be something else. But anyway, thank you, Lulu. Appreciate it. Also got a text from Ronnie from Athens. I won't say it quite the way he said it, but talking about the union negotiations with regards to the rail strike, he said the real Teamsters know they had them, and they could have asked for anything they wanted and would have got it. And I don't dispute that. Ronnie, I think you are absolutely correct. Got a call on line one, so I'll jump to it real quick. Hey, Brian from Huntsville, how you doing, man?
Doing well, sir. And it's part of what the railroad unions are doing at this point when we already have problems. It almost sounds like at others' expense, which I understand everybody wanting something for themselves, but there used to be something called water empires or hydraulic empires where you control the goods to get everything you want.
I believe you are correct. I mean, and Brian, we're losing you a little bit on your signal right there. But, yeah, you're right. They used to have water empires. In fact, the riverways sometimes used to be controlled. You had to basically pay the bridge troll, if you will, to be able to get through to carry goods downriver. And some of that had to finally be stopped.
Yes, sir. You have a good day, sir.
You too, man. Take care. Well, all right. And listen, I'm looking at the text line, too. I'm loving the fact that we got people from all over the place, like Lulu, who is from Eva. We got several more from Huntsville. We got Jay from Fairhope down on the Eastern Shore. Got to love that. Shout out to you, Jay, down on the Eastern Shore, Fairhope, Alabama. Listen, I'm looking at this next article from the Epoch Times. This is the only article that I found that – no, I take it back. I found two that dated back a bit. No, it doesn't. This was dated yesterday. Okay. Epoch Times, dated yesterday. On the rail strike, it says, economic catastrophe. Democrats face tough choices over rail strike, potential political fallout. So here's the other side. You know, the economy better be the first and foremost consideration, but I guarantee you, there are folks that were leveraging politics in this. Now, first of all, the Biden administration wants to suck up to the union base like crazy because they know they lost a ton of union support during the 2016 election. Trump came in and won. I mean, Trump went to the United Auto Workers and said, Democrats don't care for you. We'll put you back to work. We'll put America first in manufacturing. What do you think of that? And next thing you know, it's like, woohoo. And I, by the way, when I ran, the union was huge still in my district as a state senator. And it used to be that if you didn't kiss the ring down at the union hall, you weren't going to get elected. Well, that's really changed. I mean, the rank and file members of most unions are still salt of the earth, very conservative. Generally speaking, they just want to go to work every day and then go home at night and then have a weekend off and just do the gig. But I will say this, the leadership of most unions winds up being the ones that they kind of gum up the works, if you will. Well, politics also gets into play. It says in this article on the Epoch Times, for Democrats who have long portrayed themselves as a pro-working class and pro-union organization, The situation is a tough dilemma for the parties. If Democrats find themselves forced to legally bar the strike from moving forward, it may alienate large swaths of their base ahead of the crucial midterm battles. But if they allow the strike to go ahead and the supply chain crumbles, Democrats will find their electoral prospects similarly grim with moderates. So you know what? I guarantee you the unions knew that too. They did. And they were saying to themselves, we can get whatever we want because we're less than 6 weeks from the midterms, and they know they got to deal with us. Well, that's politics. That's smoky backroom crap right there. And what we're looking at right here is the fact that the Democrats who are already saying, union, yay, what do you want? Line up. I mean, even the Green New Deal bills that have been passed in the last year or at least debated have mandated that all these electric vehicles had to come from union-based plants. Really? I mean, what if it's a non-union plant? You can't get the same tax credit for it? Apparently not. But here we are looking at a rail strike, and they have created the environment in which 15,000 nurses want to go on strike in Minnesota, and all of the teachers in the Seattle school system want to go on strike, and the rail system in the entire United States might go on strike, all at the same time. Why would that be? Because of politics, politics, politics. We have an administration right now that favors the union mentality of give us more or we'll cut you off at the knees. Yeah, well, funny how that didn't happen during the Trump years, huh? And yet, at the same time, the economy was booming, and a lot of that union base voted for Trump. Go figure. All right, folks, we're gonna change gears here in a minute. This rail strike appears to have been averted. I hope that's true. I've not seen an official statement yet from the actual unions. But we're going to switch gears. One of the greatest crises available right now is the fright of fentanyl. Coming up next, a good friend of mine, Barry Mattson, executive director of the Alabama District Attorneys Association, is going to talk with us about what's happening statewide, nationwide. This is a tragedy. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.